listening to The Afternoon Commute with John Adams of HoaxBustersCall.com and Aberrato of Fakeologist.com. You can find past shows at audiochat.fakeologist.com. You'll also find instructions on how to join in and add your voice to this very special community. Now, on with the call.
All right, hi everybody. It's me, Aberrato, talking to John Adams on the drive home. Afternoon commute. It is Monday, October 5th, 2015. And I also call these Fakeologist conference calls since we use conference call software, which is a service to those that can't access the internet and have access to a phone. And that would be John Adams, who is in that situation. So welcome, John. How are you? Happy October.
Happy October to you as well, Tim. How are you doing today?
Very well, very well. It's cooling off here on the north shores of Lake Ontario. Fall is here in October, which October means 8, so really it's the 8th month of some other calendar at some other time.
It used to be the 8th month in the Roman calendar at one time, yeah.
And then some emperor got it into his mind to add a couple extra months.
Right.
Well, yeah, do you know that history?
I think it's Caesar Augustus, if I remember correctly. I have to brush up on my Roman history, but I believe it was maybe Caesar Augustus added August for Augustus.
Yeah.
July
would be Julius.
For Julius. So
good guy.
And there's your two extra months right there. So
yeah. So what's going on in the U.S. today? I haven't logged into the news disservice. I don't really know, but I got an email from YouTube that tells me all about certain hoax reviewers, and it looks like a train fell off the tracks in Vermont today. Other than that, you got your Oregon shooting.
Yes.
Which was most likely another one of the HRDs or hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real.
It's interesting you bring that up because I was watching. There's a guy who has some pretty good videos. His name's Red Silver J.
Okay. On YouTube?
Yeah, and Chris has posted some of his videos. And I was watching one of his videos on the shooting, and then I went and I looked up just what the LA Times had to say about it, and I started cracking up because I was listening to your call with Kaham.
Okay.
And you hadn't looked at the details of that at all, but you are going to laugh when you see all of the numbers associated with the shooting.
Okay.
Yes, you will find it very humorous because the numbers are just completely and totally ridiculous.
Over the top, are you saying there's Mason Feedy, which is Mason plus graffiti all over this one?
It's just one victim was 19, one was 33. It's probably one of the most obvious ones ever with the number.
Well, so. I've been enjoying the No Agenda Show's analysis of it, other than the fact that Adam refuses to call it a hoax, and I can't remember what cockamamie reason he says for not going there, so he just evaluates it as if it was real, and the only benefit... Well, I don't think there is a benefit to doing it that way, but he does go into the details, and he played some clips of the police chief who allegedly was found some conspiracy-type material on his Facebook timeline, and he said he didn't put it there and all this kind of stuff. Now,
they always do this. That's another thing that always gets we pointed that out with the... when we had Stephanie Sledge on, that there's all of this nonsense with the MySpace account, with Jared Lee Loughner, and then, you know, that seems to be something that is ongoing. Yeah, it's one of the MOs is that somebody's going to post something conspiracy-laden on a social media, right?
Right.
And then this sheriff or whatever, he allegedly posts this Sandy Hook conspiracy thing, hoax thing on his website. but yet now he's involved in this fake shooting. So, but you don't see him coming out and saying that it's a fake or that it's a possible hoax. You see,
no, he just said he's looking into it and he doesn't have any details, blah, blah, blah. That's what he said.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's the same old stuff. It's not anything, you're not going to see anything new with this one, but you will get a kick out of the numerology in it.
Well, I don't really get too many kicks anymore out of that old, out of those old chestnuts. Doesn't really get me going, but I do look for it, obviously, and make a note. But I said to Kay Ham, I wonder what's going to happen first. Will the American public start crying out to repeal the Second Amendment, which must be the obvious end game. Maybe it's so obvious that it's completely wrong. Or will they catch on to these completely asinine crisis actor, hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real? Because the number of YouTubers that are spending days and nights exposing all the details have got to be more than the output of a lot of the mainstream media exposing or portraying it as real. So what's going to come first?
Well, if something does happen out of it, I'm not saying it's going to, but if something does, I just know the mentality of a lot of people, and there are some people who I would call, you know, involved in firearms and that type of stuff, and see, they would believe that Sandy Hook was a hoax, but they think it's the liberals doing it to try to get gun confiscation because the liberals hate your guns, right?
So yeah, the city slickers in New York and Chicago.
Yeah, and they're all liberals and all that. And that may be true. That is true to a certain extent. But see, that's what is an element of it that is pushed. So they think it's Obama. Obama wants to get your guns. The liberals want to get your guns. And here's what you'll find if you go through the history of gun control. You will find that the biggest, I mean, if you want to get down into like level one, minutia, okay, the NRA, which is controlled opposition.
Yeah.
Voted for the 68 Gun Control Act, the original Big Daddy Gun Control Act. They were all for it. The NRA backed the, gun control legislation that George W. Bush enacted, which was probably the worst gun control bill ever put through, and yet it was put through by a Republican that everybody loved, that all the right wingers loved, and yet he was the one who put through that bill, and that was the one, the PTSD bill, where if you've had PTSD, you basically cannot own a firearm anymore.
And wouldn't that be most soldiers, most military involved?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So disarm the people that know the most about the scam.
Exactly. And so that legislation was put through by George W. Bush.
Oh, okay.
And that was done after the hoax event in at Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Where you had 32 people shot and killed, and then the gunman turned the gun on himself, making it a total of 33.
Ah, 33. Yes, of course.
Of course, once again, which we've pointed this out many times before, he just had impeccable aim, and he was using handguns as well, so he was just an impeccable shooter, apparently.
Yeah.
Because he played so many video games that he became an expert in firearms.
Right. So it's an unbelievable story. I'm not a shooter. I've never shot a gun. I bet you have. And from what I've heard, that it's pretty hard to control a handgun compared to, say, a rifle where you can aim it and pick people off pretty good, but of course that takes some time, some concentration. But if you're just trying to kill people willy-nilly or lined up with a handgun, you might not be as lucky to get them on the first go.
Yeah, I guarantee you if this is, as a lot of these stories purport, that this is, you know, there's another whole side to this. If I think back to the first time I ever shot a gun, I was really nervous the first time I ever did it. I was super nervous, and I wasn't even doing anything wrong with it. I was just shooting target practice, and I can only imagine the nervousness. This is something I haven't ever brought up before, just popped into my brain right now. Can you imagine how nervous it would be if you were doing something wrong with a gun for the very first time? I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn door the first time I shot the gun. I can only imagine that the person who is doing something wrong with it for the very first time would be very nervous and not able to hit the amount of people that are reported in the shooting, just based off of the nervousness factor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I don't know. I don't know much more about the event other than what John and Adam were talking about on the No Agenda show, and I'm actually not even finished listening to that latest show. But,
yeah, they always come to ridiculous conclusions. I like No Agenda, as we talked about before, but yeah, their conclusions are pretty. I wouldn't say they're dubious, because I don't find those guys to be bad guys per se, but they definitely come to some ridiculous conclusions a lot of the time, and I know you agree with that.
Yeah, well, I don't know how anyone can review this stuff for a living like they do and not come to the same conclusion almost everyone else that reviews it quite casually does. I do it as a hobby. They do it to make a living. I really don't see how you can not make the conclusion other than the fact that you're avoiding it to potentially increase your income somehow, because that's what motivates most people, unless they're totally controlled.
Well, I remember when I first started listening to them, they were more open to calling things hoaxes, and they've seemed to kind of back off of that for quite some time now.
Well, if they're going to review all these events, they may as well put hoax back in their lexicon, because they're pretty obvious.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So tell me about some of your interviews, because I think you said something about somebody's sledge. I don't know if I've heard that. Is that a new one?
You've heard that. No, you've heard that one. That was one we did on the Arizona shooting, Jared Lee Loughner.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I just didn't remember her name. Yeah. That was a female researcher.
Yeah.
Have you?
That's right.
All right. Just hold on one sec, Johnny.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to go mute for a second as well.
Okay. All right, I'm back, John. I'm ready when you are.
Okay, give me 1 minute.
Sure. John and I are both working, and as such, we take these little breaks that I don't always remember to cut out of the audio, but John squeezes in a call on his way home, and I squeeze in a call on my way while I'm at work, and that's what I call real researchers do, for the most part, squeeze in this research, and I don't know if I could do this full-time looking into these things, because they're kind of boring after a while. I don't mind talking about them, but to do videos and do detailed research into what seems to be one a day or one a week or one big one a month, it's just a job in the end. I would do it if I was paid, but I think we get the general idea when we see a few of them and we know all the clues. And really the only useful thing I can think of, if I did want to pursue and spend time on it, is try and flip over new people to seeing the patterns that we see. That would be the only reward I can see, but that's a pretty difficult task, as I've found out in the last 3 years researching this stuff. If someone doesn't want to look, they're not going to see anything, because most people wouldn't consider media studies a hobby.
Sorry about that, Tim.
It's okay. We're busy working, as I explained in the time when you were away?
Yep, I'm off work now.
Okay, well, you're on your way back from wherever you worked.
Yep.
Do you have any interviews of the past week or of the upcoming week you would like to share with the psychologist audience?
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to have, should be posted up tomorrow or Wednesday, we'll have an interview with a guy by the name of Jose Barrera, who we have interviewed before.
Okay.
And
what does he like to talk about?
On the past interview, we talked about symbols and how symbolism works and psychology with symbolism. And tomorrow we're going to be discussing with him the cult of reason. So that's something that's interesting to folks. You can check that out.
Did you say the cult of reason?
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to think of what that could mean. What could that mean?
Well, the cult of, it's basically the cult of science.
Okay.
if you go back into the French Revolution time period, you'll find that there actually was a cult of reason.
Okay.
They were a religious group called the Cult of Reason, and they prayed to the goddess of science. Not kidding.
Okay.
And so that's what they were trying to use the French Revolution to bring in, was a scientifically controlled society, which is kind of what we already have. And if you go into, if you go into the history of the social sciences, which, you know, every country has now, it's really based off of the philosophy of a philosopher by the name of Comte. And
okay.
He believed in using science to make a utopia, basically.
Great.
Yeah, so that extends out into the current state that we're in, where you have this appeal to science, this appeal to that type of thing, which Chris has gotten into multiple times. I would probably add something, that the word reason has been hijacked for a long time. Because I don't think that a lot of these things that get talked about and, you know, are attached to the idea of reason are very reasonable.
Yeah, okay. The opposite.
Yeah, it's the hijacking of the word reason, which, like I said, it has the word reason actually was brought in on by people who were not very reasonable in the first place. So
yeah. Hey, let me switch gears. I just saw a movie. I can't remember how I found it. You may have heard of it, and I know you're a food connoisseur, or you like food.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to find a human that doesn't. Anyway, the documentary is called Cowspiracy, and I posted it on my website, my other blog, morab.com, M-O-R-E-A-B.com, because it's not really fecologist-related. And I don't want to clutter up the main blog with too much of my other interests, because it wouldn't be fair to people who are coming there. But have you ever heard of the movie, the Doco Cowspiracy?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Chris and I have talked about it.
Maybe that's where I heard about it.
could have been. Yeah. We discussed it a little bit, and then
did you watch it?
I have not watched. I don't think it's out yet to be able to watch.
Yeah.
Well,
you can find it with various surreptitious methods on the internet. It's there.
Yeah, It was brought to my attention of its existence by Marcus, and then I looked into it a little bit, and it's the same old stuff. It's the cows are farting, and they're causing too much. You know, their farts are causing carbon dioxide. You know, too much carbon dioxide, and you know there's always some good points made in films like this, because what they're doing is they are against big agra, right?
Yeah,
but they're not against big agra because for the sake of big agra, what they're against is that there's too many cows, and we all need to stop eating meat in order to save the earth.
Yeah. Well, the thrust of the movie that I found interesting was, number one, it was saying that the major enviro groups, Greenpeace and some of the other ones that I've never heard of, Oceana, they are specifically avoiding the topic of discussing how agriculture uses more resources and causes more of the so-called ingredients to global warming, which I don't believe in, is man-made, which is against, it seems, every view out there officially, if you believe propaganda. But they're saying the enviro groups are avoiding discussing this particular, or this one guy is saying, who did the film, is saying that all the environment groups don't really have a comment and avoid talking about it. So that's where the word cowspiracy comes from. He's saying that they're all on the take. They're all not going to touch this very sensitive subject, maybe because people like their meat. I don't know exactly what the reason that he deduced was, but essentially that was the interesting part to me about it. So watching all these groups that say they're on trying to fight for the environment, they seem to be avoiding the elephant in the room. It's almost like media fakery people. It's almost like conspiracy people avoiding media fakery. It's almost exactly a parallel to that.
Right. Well, what you're going to find with all of those, I mean, is that you're going to find very, very little resistance to much of anything, because all of those groups have been controlled from day one. The reason that those groups were created was for the purpose of environmentalism, to create artificial scarcity, basically.
All right. Okay.
And that's where environmentalism comes out of. It comes out of pantheists like John Muir, who was one of the first guys to talk about setting up national parks. But then you have the Rockefellers involved with environmentalism from the get-go, creating national parks like Jackson Hole, Wyoming, for the purpose of rewilding.
Right.
Okay, so they want to keep the land beautiful. They don't want the unwashed masses coming and doing anything to this beautiful landscape.
Yeah.
I personally like parks. I like national parks and all that. I just know that the purpose behind all of it is this is environmentalism. So, and there's a lot of stuff behind it where these are fake front environmental groups. It's like what was it? It's like, let's say they find oil off the coast of Alaska. They'll send an environmental group down there to protest the drilling to make sure that there's no more, that they plug up the find. And the environmental groups are being funded by the oil companies to be able to do that, so that you have artificial scarcity.
Ah, that's very good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
that keeps the price up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that came out a long time ago, that was actually being funded. And I remember I even called in to a liberal talk show one time and brought that up, back when I used to call into talk shows regularly, and I brought that up one time. I said, yeah, a lot of these environmental groups are actually funded by the oil company. And then the excuse that the guy gave, and I've heard this excuse given as well, is like, because the oil companies want to look good, like they want to appear green, so they fund. And so then I said, well, why do the environmental companies take the money? Like, isn't that, tantamount to a type of treason, like by taking the money from an oil company? They say, well, no, it's, money's money, and if an oil company wants to give it, then.
Yeah, we don't care what the color of your money is. Did you ever use the words controlled opposition in your phone calls? That would have been good.
Yeah, not back then, but yeah, I certainly learned about what control opposition was through that medium of finding that out. That's how a lot of oil companies control a lot of the pricing, is through environmental legislation and environmental stuff. There's also been other things where you'll see this throughout different types of environmentalists where they say that it's bad for farms, like they're saying in the Cowspiracy film that farms are bad. Now, of course, they're talking about big agriculture, but a lot of times what they do, and you'll see this in other countries, where the UN has actually gone into other countries and kicked indigenous farmers off of their land, right?
Yeah.
To call it a wildlife reserve. So if the let's say somebody comes over to the North Shore of Ontario and says, Mr. Alvarado, you're going to have to vacate your home because this is where the indigenous yellow-belly sapsucker resides, and this is now a wildlife preserve for that.
Oh, well. How do they know a sapsucker resides where I am?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
the only other... Yeah, go.
Oh, I was just going to say that a lot of times, in some cases, they've actually found that when they claim to have found an indigenous species on that, endangered indigenous species, that it was actually put there by somebody to say that, hey, this species lives there.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. They plant the species. Well,
yeah.
The only other thing I learned about from this movie that the guy said was defunded when they found out what was going on is, I learned about the fact that the Bureau of Land Management, which is a federal agency, I suppose, down there, handles a lot of the so-called wild game preserves or these wild areas. But they do issue permits to allow big agra or big cattle to use and manage the resources and use them, and then there's just a conflict between the so-called enviro groups that say it's not the wild horses that are causing the trouble, it's just the good old domesticated cattle that are given permits to use up the resources. So it's just sort of a bit of a battle there. I didn't realize that the cattle, the ranchers were allowed on the federal preserves to the extent that they allegedly are. So that was the only other thing I learned.
That's kind of a, you see, the only problem with a lot of this argument is, it's like I said, I know what big agra is all about. I know it's bad. Obviously there is pollution involved with big agra, not cow farts, but, just
runoff, all the runoff, fertilizer, waste.
Yeah. All that type of stuff. Okay. The meat that's coming out of those places is not good. You got grain fed cattle on a massive scale. It's not good for cattle to be herded in that particular way. If you're going to go the corporate welfare, corporate socialist model, instead of funding big agri, you should just subsidize small farms. But that's not going to happen.
Because they don't have a big lobby.
So what's already there is bad. But at the same time, he's saying it's bad for them to come onto the federal land. And I've read about this. This has been debated for years. And here's the problem, but it's also a good thing, is that, you see, when you let cattle go onto land, like, it'll eat up all of the dead vegetation, right?
Yeah.
Like, out here in California, where we have wildfires in the Laguna Hills, which in the 1990s, like, basically this entire neighborhood in Laguna Hills burned down to the ground, right? What they will do is when spring is turning into summer, they will hire goat farmers to have their goats come out and eat up the hillsides.
Okay.
Right, so there's no dead vegetation that can catch on fire.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. And so when you drive down to that particular area, you will see in the spring and in the late spring, you'll see all of these goats everywhere, and you're like, why is there all of a sudden goats here? Well, they hire the goats to eat up all the dead vegetation. And it's the same thing. It's like, animals are good for a particular area because they do eat up a lot of the vegetation. You hear that a lot. Like, oh, the animals are using up too many resources. They're eating up all the vegetation. Well, you know, the vegetation grows back next year.
Right.
And then they have to come eat it up again. And a lot of times, like I said, you could obviously use up too many resources in one area if you're stacking farms on top of farms on top of farms, which big agra tends to do. That's what happens out where I live, where all the farms are.
Yeah. Well, again, really they were just emphasizing how the enviro groups do not mention the massive resource use and alleged CO2 or whatever the devilish gas is that causes global warming. They don't mention cattle farming and just the resources that use them. But that was the only hypocritic thing I think this guy really wanted to emphasize. Other than that, the other thing I noticed is a lot of the talkers don't say they're vegan, but imply they are. They always look quite gaunt, I noticed. And I don't know if it's because we don't see so many vegans in public light or in general, and people are just all puffy based on all their overeating of rich foods, or if vegans are not, don't look healthy because that's the way humans are supposed to look if they just eat plants. So that was the only other thing I got out of this little movie.
Vegans are hungry, Tim. That's why they're just plain hungry.
Yeah. Well, they say they get all their protein from plants, and I'm not a vegan at all because I like meat.
Yeah.
But I have had to cut back because it's really expensive now in the last year or two.
Well, it is impossible. If you want to properly have the right amount of vitamins, it would be impossible to obtain the right amount of vitamins. You could ask a hardcore vegan or a hardcore vegetarian or whatever ask them how they get vitamin B12, right? The only way you can get vitamin B12 is through animal products, okay? So even if a vegan or vegetarian has to supplement with vitamin B12, that vitamin B12 only originates in animal, in meat, in bones, and all that type of stuff. So we need vitamin B12, and that's the only way to get it. So I don't say anybody's bad for being that way, but I've seen too much, and I've been a vegetarian in the past myself and know that it's not a healthy lifestyle. Although I think people are generally, they do try to be healthy, or they're good-natured and trying to save animals and that type of stuff, and all of that stuff is out there to play on your emotions.
Yeah. Well, no one likes to see a cow get slaughtered or a duck be beheaded. I know I don't. And they showed it in the movie, and I probably couldn't do it. But other than that, I eat my vegetables and my meat, and I try and stay balanced.
That's right, because you're an omnivore. That's what an omnivore does.
Well, I try to be. I know, though, that too much sugar can't be good, and I do my best to avoid too much sugar, because I'm pretty sure that's not great.
No, it's not. Nope.
All right. How are we doing for time?
I'm doing okay for time. I've got about 5 minutes.
All right. Anything else you would like to bring up? Feel free.
Let's see. I thought there was something I wanted to bring up. I was trying to think of what it was.
Were you able to see the blood moon being eclipsed by the round Earth?
No, I was. When was that?
That was a week ago or so. You won't be able to see that exact setup configuration for another 33 years, sad to say.
Yeah, I saw your post on it. So, yeah, 33 years from now, yeah.
And I think it was 33 years before, 18 years before that it happened. So the only other thing that's going on is I'm still following the Flat Earth talkers, because there are lots of them, and some of them make sense, but a lot of them are trashing the 9/11 research at Clues Forum. And Simon's convinced that it's a discredit by association tactic by NASA or whoever is funding it. And I thought, the more I hear these guys, the more I hear their brief dismissal of 9/11 and media fakery. So I thought, well, he might be right. And as time might reveal, or is revealing, it seems like it's somewhat true.
Yeah, I've been suspicious of the Flat Earth thing from day one. I've not really ever commented on it, except for on brief talks with you. And that's fine. You and I could talk about it. I wouldn't talk about it on any other person who asked me on about it. It's just, and it's only because I don't know personally. I've never been to Antarctica, so. And I can't say for certain as to what it was. I know if I go, I was on Saturday, I was just up on a big hill overlooking Los Angeles, and it looks pretty darn flat from up there. But I don't know what that means. So I know I've thought that in the past. I've thought, man, you know, it looks so flat. I've told you this before. I went up on Griffith Park, up to the Griffith Observatory, and you can look down over the entire South Bay of Los Angeles, and you can see all the way out to Catalina Island, you know, which is, I think it's 23 miles out, so.
Okay.
And on a clear day, you can see for miles, as they say.
Well, if it's part of a campaign to discredit the leading compendium of media fakery research, it seems a rather obscure link, but it's possible.
I'll tell you why it sounds probable.
Okay.
It's because you see, and why it's a good link to attach it to people who talk about media fakery.
Okay.
And that is because it's a good lure. Okay. So you got someone who's investigating whether things that they're being told in the media are true or not.
Okay. That's me.
Okay. Especially with 9/11. So then you start talking there about something questionable, and it's a little bit further off the quote-unquote deep end, pun intended, flat earth deep end. It's a little bit off the deep end there, but people like me or yourself or anybody who, you know, goes to fakeologists or hoax busters or something like that, you get interested in it because what you think is, well, I'm questioning all of these other things. I've never questioned this before. I should start questioning this, and I should start looking into that, right?
Yes, yes, that's what I'm thinking.
So then that's what you do, because that's what everybody in this community does.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can see just through the things that you post and that you question that you'll see people, and not trolls and not bots, but actual real people, they will start questioning those things, right? After you make a post about it, right? So then a thread can start off of that, and people start having discussions, and then people find, oh, well, this website's been talking about this for quite a while, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to talk about it over there, or whatever. And so it's a very easy thing to latch onto. But see, now what you could do with it is, if you were the one who put it out there in the first place as a discrediting sort of thing, what it is, hey, these crazy kooks who believe that nobody died on 9/11, they also believe that the earth is flat.
Yeah, I get it.
Right? And even though, you know, like, just using you as an example, since it's you and I here talking.
Yeah.
You're a genuine person who genuinely wants to know. Like, so it's a genuine inquiry into something, right? But that's not how people are going to see it. And people are going to see it as, oh, this is crazy stuff here. I can't even go look at this type of stuff. I'm not even going to touch that, right? And see, that's one of the toughest things, especially if you're talking to, you know, other people within the quote unquote truth community. This has happened a couple of times just with people that I've talked to about doing interviews with us, with Chris
okay.
and I, and they're on board, and then they find out, wait a minute, you guys talk about 9/11 being fake? Uh-oh. That's okay. I don't want to come on.
Ah, interesting.
You know.
Yeah, I understand. It's complicated. It's not fair to us genuine researchers who are okay with being wrong and are okay with asking really tough questions and going in really bizarre places.
Yeah.
It's too bad, yeah. It's very, very tricky. Very tricky what... Just researching this. It's walking through a patch of nettles. You never know when you're going to get stung.
It's hard too, because, like, you know, I mean, I know you, that when you post stuff up on your website, it's because you yourself are looking into it. You're not trying to lead anybody, right?
Yeah.
You're just posting up there. You're just saying, here's what I'm checking into, right?
Yeah, what do y'all think about it?
Right. And most people who go on your site, will know that that's the case. But then you get some new people, and they're so used to being led around by the nose, whether it's by the regular media or the alternative media, they're looking for a leader.
Right.
Right, and so then they come along, and then they think to themselves, this guy on this website, he's my new leader that I'm going to go to for all the information. And then there's, you know, something like Flat Earth, where you're just inquiring into it. You're not saying either way. You're saying, I'm just looking into it. I'm just trying to figure out what this is all about. And this person is looking for, they're on a quest for certainty, to quote the Hare Krishnas.
Oh, okay. They're on a
quest for certainty. And so when they don't find certainty, then they get upset. Then they say, hey, wait a minute, this guy, he's not giving me the certainty I'm looking for. I want to know absolutely 100% if the earth is flat. I want to know for 100% that no one died on 9/11, right? And that's not possible. We cannot give you those answers.
No. Okay, so you think that this is a legitimate issue and it's a legitimate possibility that what's going on. It seems like so much effort just to do this. But maybe it's working. Working on me and anyone else who values my opinion, which they shouldn't value too much.
Well, I'll tell you this. Anytime I see a concerted effort for something pop up, I get suspicious. It's just like the white nationalist stuff. It's like, I'm not saying that there aren't people in those particular areas of research who don't have genuine feelings or ideas, or that they don't have some merit to some of the things that they're saying. But it's always suspicious to me when you all of a sudden see it start popping up everywhere and there's a lot of attention being paid to it, and then some of the characters involved with it are very dubious. Not to say that all of them are, but then you say, okay, either this was put out there to begin with, or it was something that has caught on, and now the controlled opposition leaders have been put into it to try to steer it into a direction. You see, now I'm not saying that with the white nationalist stuff. I think the white nationalist stuff is controlled top down, but all the way, and they just snag people into it like a net. But you know, the flat earth thing, I don't know for a fact. So.
Well, it's a distinct possibility. The distinct possibility. So,
yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining in and giving your thoughts on that. I value that opinion, and people will be able to listen to it shortly. Do you know if Chris is on tonight? This is a Monday night for the usual hoaxbusterscall.com.
Last time I checked, he did not have a post saying that there wasn't a call. So usually he posts something saying no call tonight. So it looks like it might be on. So.
All right, well, everyone tune in and listen. Should be another 3-hour episode since you missed last week for all that are following along at home.
Great. Good talking to you, my friend.
All right, all the best. Thanks, John. We'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Have a good rest of the week.
All right, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, there goes John Adams of HoaxBustersCall.com. He does a afternoon commute with different guests every week. And Chris does HoaxBustersCall.com Monday nights, usually somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m. Eastern time. So go ahead and give a listen to them. I post many of their calls on my site, ones that I am most interested in. And you can check out those links if you go to the right side of my blog, go to the categories and click on recommended audio and HoaxBusters. That's how you'll find a listing of all the ones that I particularly enjoyed, and you might too. You can go to his site and check out the archive yourself. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you on the audio chat, audiochat.fakeologist.com, or this chat, which is fakeologist.com/CC. CC stands for conference call. Take care.
Hi, this is Rochello, and you're not listening to me, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.